Again this morning, I want us to open our Bibles. Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we're continuing on here. We have worked our way from the end of chapter 16 through 17, and now we're in 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. Praise God, I encourage you while you're turning there, listen, sign up. If you're new here, sign up for the new here luncheon. That's going to be a fantastic time. We look forward to meeting you, getting to know you. And also, I encourage you to get involved in Connect Hour on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We have something for everybody, every age, everybody. And also, there's Connect groups, and you can look those up even on our website, myrockchurch.org. You can look up and get involved. But folks, again, so much of what God does in and through our lives is through people. It's through relationships that come our way. And so let God move in you. Put yourself in the way of a blessing and get around brothers and sisters who know the Lord, okay? It's vitally important that we all do that. The Bible says that even more so, it's even more so, more important as we get closer to the day of the coming of the Lord, and we're there, right? So don't meet less, meet more. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, all right, you there? How many there? 1 Kings 18. Okay? All right. It says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. And so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. And so we're getting ready here. Folks, I'll pause here a minute to say that, you know, this Elijah has been the key figure up to this point. And now the story, the scene is going to shift a little bit. It's going to shift for a moment to what is happening on the other side of the story. We have everything that's happening with Elijah and what he's been going through, right? And now it's going to shift a little bit. And so we're going to dive into that. So here we're going to find another real follower of God that we're going to be introduced to, okay? So remember, it had been 3.5 years. Elijah had given his word as God had directed him. He had told King Ahab, because Israel was in such a moral just decline and such a horrible state, that God was moving on Israel, getting their attention, drawing people back to him, bringing renewal to real faith, right? And so Elijah said, at my word, it will not rain until I say so, right? And so now it's getting ready to shift. There have been 3.5 years of famine. It had been horrible. We can't imagine what it would be like around here if going 3.5 years without any rain or dew, right? And so it was a very, very difficult time. And so now we're shifting from Elijah, moving the emphasis being in another spot here for a moment. So picking up here, verse 3, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. And Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. And verse 5 says that Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah going in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him, bowed down low to the ground, and said, is it really you, my Lord Elijah? Yes, he replied. Now go tell your master Elijah is here. Obadiah says, what have I done wrong that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there's not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear that they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here? I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. I mean, you know, that was just a common thing that happened. Sometimes God would take men of God and just take them from one place and transport them to another. And amazing, right? And so he's concerned that's going to happen. He says, if I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshiped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did? While Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord, I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say Elijah is here? He'll kill me. If you don't show up, he's going to kill me. But Elijah said, as the Lord God Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord, and we pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, as we look into your word, God, that your spirit would speak to us, and Lord, make application to us personally and right where we are. From this story so long ago, God, speak truth to us today that we need to hear, to model, and to put into action as people of faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Well, thus far, as we've been moving through this whole part of the book of Kings, we've seen two people who've exercised, they've modeled incredible faith. Elijah for one, and who was the other one? Yeah, it's going to be Obadiah. Who's the other one? The widow of Zarephath, right? And so Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And so now we're introduced to a third, and that's Obadiah. Say it, Obadiah. And how many remember Obadiah? Right? Just doesn't really rise to the top. You know, just think Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, maybe that help you. Obadiah, just remember him because he is a great man of God. Somebody to remember here, yeah? So he comes onto the scene. And the reason we're just, one of the things I think that stands out the most about Obadiah, what we're going to see here, is as he exercises real faith, He shows for us, he models for us faith at the office. Faith at the office. Faith at the workplace, okay? And so we're going to see that in him, in his life, in his model, what he is doing here. And I pray that God would just enlighten us. And as we begin, I think, first of all, I think we ought to realize this, acknowledge this, that we know about Obadiah primarily because of the sovereignty of God. Because God, as he is leaving us with scripture and leaving us with this history, that he wants to enlighten us by the life of this great man of God. And how many know that history is his story, right? And so God can include in his story whoever he wants and however he wants to write it, right? And so God chose in his sovereignty to include Obadiah. And the only thing we know about Obadiah is what we just read. He's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. And some of you you're jumping ahead and you're thinking, oh, what about the book of Obadiah, the minor prophet? That's a totally different person, altogether different person, right? It's not the same guy. And so I think we ought to realize that some of the greatest servants of God, that they have kept a low profile, kind of been in the background, but God has used them in incredible ways. Friends, not everybody that God uses in an incredible way is out in the forefront. And truthfully, there's no way that God can mention everybody who's played just a role in the kingdom of God. I mean, we could never read all that God has done. Right? Even Scripture says about the time of Jesus on earth that if everything about that Jesus did while on earth was written, the world could not contain the books. And could you imagine all of human history? But God saw fit that we know about Obadiah. And so, you know, we need to remember that the Scriptures include Israel's history. It's a history about God, but it includes Israel's history. And it was written for us as an example and for our instruction. So all those things about the Old Testament, some people want to say, well, we're in New Testament times. Yes, we are. But remember, the Old Testament is always pointing towards the New Testament. The Old Testament was a shadow of the things that were fulfilled in the New Testament. And how many just love stories? The Bible, the Old Testament is filled with some of the greatest stories in all of history. And so if you like stories, this is a great place to look, right? And so I'm so glad that in addition to all the examples of the great prophets and kings and priests and leaders that God also includes this in the book, in the Bible, all kinds of backgrounds and vocations. Amen? That the people of all kinds of settings. And so not many places that a widow would have been recognized, but we just talked about the widow Zarephath last week and what a significant role she played. So I believe God's sovereignty was also at work here, not only including Obadiah, but also in directing his life and the steps that he took. How many believe that God directs your steps? That we're not walking aimlessly, that we surrender to the Lord, and that we're believing God to direct us, even when we don't understand, or even when we may not even realize that God's doing so. Praise God. God's got me. God's got you. Amen? And so I believe we're seeing an example of that here. And Psalm says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. But as Ahab, we just read, Ahab needed help. Things were so desperate and the famine was so severe that they were out of everything. And now trying to keep the animals alive, the horses and the mules. And so it's so desperate that they're going out and looking for help, trying to find a little bit of grass somewhere, looking in the valleys and the springs, the obvious places where there might be some moisture, where some grass might be available. And so as they're doing that, to cover the shortest amount of territory, well, he needs some help. Ahab needs help. And so he calls his number two guy, who is Obadiah, Obi-Wan, Obadiah, right? All right. Obadiah, come on, say it. Obadiah. Calls Obadiah and brings him with me. And to cover the most amount of territory in the shortest amount of time, Ahab said, let's split up. I'll go this way, and you go that way. And folks, this was a very significant thing because it just so happened that the way that Obadiah went, the steps that he took, put him on a collision course, you might say, with the great prophet Elijah. Amen? So it was Obadiah instead of Ahab that met with Elijah. And so naturally speaking, this was a 50% chance. It was a flip of a coin on who was going to meet Elijah, and it happened to fall to Obadiah. Now, if Ahab would have met Elijah after all those years and just hardship, I think the meeting would have been extremely tense. Who knows what King Ahab might have done, right? We can only guess. But, you know, he might have even taken credit that he found Elijah, not realizing that it was Elijah had the boldness and the word of the Lord to come to him, not the other way around. And Ahab might have wanted to control the meeting, but as it happened, God's hand was in it. More importantly, if Obadiah had not been the one to meet Elijah, there really wouldn't have been any reason to include Obadiah in the story. And so it would have been something like this. We could have read like in verse 1 and then jumping, or verse 2 down to verse 17, it could have said something like this. It simply said, when Elijah and Ahab met, Elijah said, summon the people to meet me on Mount Carmel. It could have been that and just totally overlooked it. You still got your Bible open? Yeah, just look. Let me read verse 2 to you. If you don't, I'll read it to you. And it says verse 2, so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you trouble of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. Do you see how naturally that would have flowed? It would have worked and just totally bypassed Obadiah. But God has a plan. God doesn't do anything by accident. God includes things. And God wants us to see the example of this man and an example of somebody who exercises great faith at the office. And it's not an easy task for Obadiah. Amen? And so there we have it. So God wants us to know about him. And here's something. What do we know? Some of the, I guess, a couple primary things that stand out about Obadiah, and that was first of all, we know that he was an officer of the king, right? The palace administrator. Scripture says that he was in charge of Ahab's palace. Maybe that was something similar to the president's chief of staff or something along those lines. But it seems that he was second in command because that's the guy, Obadiah is the guy that Ahab called when he was going out to try to find food for the animals. And because Obadiah serves in this office, I think we can also easily discern something about Obadiah that's not specifically mentioned. And that is, number one, how many of y'all would agree that for Obadiah to be serving King Ahab, especially in such a difficult time, but be serving any king, how many of you believe that the guy would have to be good at his job? Amen? If he wasn't good at his job, he wouldn't be there. Because the kings expected the highest level of competence and excellence, and they wouldn't tolerate. They got access to the whole kingdom, right? And so Obadiah had the right gift set, which is also a result of God's sovereign design. How many realize that God gives gifts to everybody? That he doesn't just give gifts to people who are in the vocation of ministry, but God has gifted you. Don't become prideful in thinking, even in you going out and making a living, it's by my hands and my ability and my knowledge that I do this and provide for my family. Yeah, it's yours, but where did it come from? It came from the Lord. Amen. It was God's gift to you. God gave you the ability to think, to act, to work with your hands, to work with your heart, to work with your head. It was from the Lord, right? And so we have these things because of God's blessing. And so Proverbs 18:6 says this, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. And so God sovereignly gave Obadiah these gifts because God had arranged, even before the world began, he was going to work for the king. And God gave him these gifts and made him ready to do so. And so God's gifts, again, they're not just for ministry, it's for every single one of us. And in addition to the giftings, there was something else he had. How many believe that that Obadiah would have had to have been a trustworthy person? What kind of king would have somebody working for him if he didn't think he could trust him? Right? And you and I wouldn't like it either. Yeah? He trusted Obadiah to be an honest man, a capable man, to know what to do when. And I think it's evidenced by the fact that when the king really needed help in a serious situation, he called Obadiah and then released him to go in a different direction without any oversight whatsoever. The people you work for, are they able to trust you without oversight? Will they trust you to do the right thing? Because we're talking about faith in the office, faith at the workplace. Amen? How many think they ought to be able to trust us? Yeah? And the king needed that because he was so susceptible, so vulnerable to attacks. I mean, people wanted to kill him. You're in leadership, you're going to be attacked. That's just part of it. Even good kings. Now, Ahab wasn't a good king at all, but even more so reason, people wanted to kill him. And, concerned about some insurrection. And so he's dealing with all of this. And so Obadiah had both gifts and character. Amen? He had natural abilities and he had spiritual abilities. He had the fruits of the Spirit. He had natural giftings from the Lord. And you know what? Somebody said it's your gifts that will open doors for you. It's gifts that will get you there, but it's character that will keep you there. And in character involves trust. And so, you know, it's a real blessing for any organization. When they have somebody to come in that has the gift set that's needed to accomplish the job and that they're also trustworthy. And, that's somebody you'd want to hold on to. Amen? And so we know this side about Obadiah. He's an officer to the king. And on the other side, this same guy, Obadiah, is a servant of the Lord. He's a servant of the King of Kings. Amen? And so he's doing that. So how do you know we got two roles we're playing, right? And I'm going to tell you my number one concern is pleasing God. So I'm going to do whatever I can if working in a secular environment, I'm going to do whatever I can to accomplish the goals of the company or the business, the person I'm working for, as long as you don't ask me to violate my faith. Okay? I'm going to do everything I can. And Obadiah was able to do that. right? He's able to use his gifts and abilities to help King Ahab to cause the kingdom to function, to do all of the things that are necessary to keep things going, and he could do that. And we pray, people that work in those environments, maybe pray for you. I pray for you. Amen. Some of you got some tough places to work, but I pray you'll be encouraged as we walk through this morning, right? So he's Obadiah, servant of Yahweh. Says he worshiped the Lord how long? All his life, ever since he was a child, right? Ever since he came to the age of accountability, he was a worshiper of God. And even we see his love for God, his respect for the things of God, because when he meets Elijah, he so honors him, respects him, and he calls him servant of God, man of God. And he bows down low, honoring Elijah as a man of God. And so it just reveals his faith and his heart for the Lord. And I want us to realize something here. So Obadiah, he's over here in the office of the king. He's got, in some ways, people might consider him to have certain privileges or whatever because of his position. But I want to remind us that Obadiah, though he had a big title that probably came with big pay, that's not the reason he's in the story. He's in the story because of how he used it. Right? He's known for how he used them. He's known for demonstrating real faith on two fronts. On the natural front as well as the spiritual front. And, you know, let me talk about the spiritual, because that is, in a sense, in the reality, most important. Though the two can come together, it's almost like two sides of the same coin. All right? How do you believe there is a spiritual side of you? How do you believe there's a physical side of you? And right now, they're joined. Amen? And so to take care of the one is to take care of the other. God needs a body to work in. Therefore, my body's important, because if my body's not okay, there's no place for the spirit side of me to operate. So both of these are important. And so Obadiah is being faithful on both fronts. And so naturally we're drawn to the spiritual side, which is vitally important. And it's a big part of this story. It's his faithfulness and his character fulfilling his heavenly role and being faithful in his spiritual call of duty. And as Christians, I pray we all understand we have a spiritual call of duty. There are things that God has for every one of us to do that's going to impact eternity, because it impacts people. And every person's eternal, going to spend eternity somewhere, either with God or away from God, right? So here he is. And so realize it's during this dark, difficult time that Obadiah is called to the forefront. And it's in this time he's having to work alongside Jezebel. I mean, in the midst of all that, Jezebel's on a mission to take out the prophets of the Lord. Jezebel, remember, is King Ahab's wonderful wife. I say that jokingly. Amen. If you call somebody a Jezebel, you call them the worst name in the world, right? And she's just not a good person. But anyway, Jezebel's trying to take out the prophets of the Lord. And however, at the risk of his own life and at his personal expense, Obadiah takes 100 of the prophets of the Lord and hides them. He splits them into 50, two groups of 50, and hides them in two different caves, and he brings them food and water. Again, we see how God sometimes provides our needs through the natural side of things, and many times using people to provide for us what we need. And so if you need bread on your table and you're praying, God, we're starving, you know, and somebody shows up your doorstep and leaves a wonderful bag of groceries, you know, don't deny it, saying, you know, I prayed and God just didn't send it down from heaven and I'm waiting for God. No, he just provided. He just dropped it off. Amen. God provides both ways, naturally and supernaturally. Amen. And so we're drawn to this side of him, and And at the risk of his life, Obadiah is doing this, and he's trying to help the prophets and also being faithful at his job to honor the king and do what he was hired to do. And kind of like Queen Esther, he came to a decision based on conviction that perhaps God has placed me here for such a time as this. And at this particular point, it's to take care of the prophets of the Lord. However, Obadiah was also faithful, not only in the spiritual side, but in the natural side, in his earthly role to the king, right? And the king respected him, needed him, and the role that he played was so important. And so I want us to understand this part, church. How many believe it's important for us to bring character and to bring to be Jesus, to be light in a work environment? How many of you understand that it's equally important that we're good and faithful at what we are hired to do? Do you realize both of those will bring glory to God? Right? And so there's this natural side that can be overlooked. And, you know, here, some of you wear early tomorrow morning. I'm going to be flying out. I'm going to be flying from Memphis to New York. I'm going to be flying from New York to Poland, from Poland to Israel, and from Israel back to New York, and from New York back to Memphis. And I pray that all the pilots are Christian. You know what I mean? But I'm going to be honest with you. There's something more important to me than them being Christian. I know the Lord. Hey, buddy, I'm glad you know Jesus and all, but I don't need your testimony. I don't need you to read some scripture to me. I need you to be able to fly the plane. Just fly the plane. Amen. And land us safely. Take us off safely and land us. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm saying to you that while the spiritual side and us being Jesus in the spiritual side of things, so showing Christ, reflecting Christ is important, also our ability to do what we are hired to do is also a reflection of faith. And it reflects on the Lord. And depending on whether or not we exercise both of those, whether we bring glory to God or we dishonor his name. Amen? So as Christians, we should look at our occupation and job differently. We want our business and company to succeed, not just for personal reasons or because it might make us look good, because by doing that, we're bringing honor and glory to the Lord. And I can tell you, if we don't do a good job for the people we're responsible and accountable to, we will never lead them to Christ. They will not be interested in the spiritual side of us, son, if we're not faithful in that. Right? They're not going to come to know Jesus if we're lazy, or if we're late all the time, or if we're just needy all the time, or whatever. Well, I could go on. How many of y'all got the picture? So be good at what we do. And Christians, we're doing that. So we're bringing both of it to the table. We've got gifts from the Lord that we have built, that we have improved over the years, and we're glad to take them to the table, and I'm going to make you look good. I'm going to help you do what you do, right? At the same time, I'm going to be godly. I'm going to be honest. You don't have to worry about anything being taken or stolen or whatever, because I'm an honest guy. And I don't even have to say that. They just know that. And that brings glory to the Lord, right? And so let me say something here about as Christians and as we're talking about this. Here's a man, Obadiah. He's in this role, in this position. He's a leader in a sense. He's got a title. He's wealthy because of just the role that he plays. And, you know, we're in a time today where the truth is some of those things sometimes get a bad rap. But the truth is God needs leaders who'll stand up. The truth is that the ministry takes a lot of funding. It takes a lot of money to get the work done. Amen? And so God uses people. Not only people that have a little, he uses people that have a lot. And some things about titles, somebody, let me say this. If you just want the title, you need to look inside. Because I'm going to tell you, when, with a title, usually will come responsibility. And it's not, it's totally flip-flop. It's not a top-down thing, it's a bottom-up. It's how much weight can I hold, right? How much weight can I hold? How much can I lift up? And the more you do that, the more responsibility, the less of self you have, the less freedom you have, the fewer choices you have. Why? Because you're bearing so many responsibilities that it's already determined how you're going to spend your hours. Amen? And so it's totally different from the world. And so God does it. I'm going to tell you that God works in people and God works in positions. And you know what? I've never wanted a title, though held a few. But there's some things that can only happen because you have a title. There is, God has placed power in people, and he's placed power in positions. In the power that's placed in an individual, in us, is the power of influence. And if I'm going to choose between the two, I'm going to take this one. Because take the titles, take whatever, I can be a person of influence no matter if I have a title or not. That I am who I am, and that my name stands for something, that my word stands for something, and I can have influence in people's life. Have you ever seen in a meeting, or maybe in a church meeting, where there's a big decision to be made, and there's a lot of debate going back and forth, and all of a sudden, somebody stands up and they say, you know, as I look at this, I feel like this is the way. And it's a person that doesn't hold a title, but they've got such influence that everybody's listening to what they have to say. So we need influence. Other side, there's times when you have to use a title. There's things that I can do by virtue of being a pastor. Like I can officially marry people. And it's done. And the state, the law recognizes that. And most of you can't do that. You may have a lot of influence, but you can't do that. And I'm saying to you, that's what we need to pray for our leaders. How many know God has placed authorities? And there's some things that can be done, and that's why it's important who's president. Because with the president, with that title, there is abilities to act. And we need to pray for that. Amen? Because there's something, no matter how great somebody is in the world, no matter how much talent they have, no matter how good a heart they have, if they don't have the title, there's some things they can't do. So the title, a position, is not a bad thing. It's how it's used. And so don't walk away from those things. If God's calling you into something, into a place of leadership, into a title that has responsibility, don't shy away from it if God's asking you to embrace it. In truth, it's a cross to bear. A cross to bear. But embrace it because there's good that's going to come out of it. Is this making sense? Because God wants to use you. And that's what was happening here. God is using Obadiah. We're talking about real faith. He's in this office and it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. Obadiah, I mean, example of faithfulness. You talk about a toxic work environment. My goodness. The whole nation's in a total disaster, right? I'm sorry. As Trump would say, the mess was huge, you know, whatever. But Obadiah, he's working. Listen, you think your boss is bad? I pray that's not the case. Maybe you're the boss. Obadiah worked for the worst king in Israel's history. And you know who else worked there at the office? Jezebel. Oh, man. And can't you just imagine? I'm sure that, you know, Obadiah had to just fire himself up in the morning, you know. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, reminding himself, you know, this is a good day. Fighting, you know, just wrestling with all the things here in the office. And Ahab's got his moods and his issues. And along comes Jezebel. And she's got her entourage of 850 false prophets of Baal and Asherah. And folks, every type of idolatry is demonically inspired. And he's walking up and down the halls, keeping the faith, trying to be Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, right? He's doing whatever. Anybody else out there? You try to fire yourself up and get yourself together because it's a mess. I'm not going to ask you, raise your hand, but some of you are working in a toxic work environment. But if God has put you there, at least this time, he's put you there to be a light and to bring hope. And the darker that environment is, the more important it is that you're there to be a light when no one else is. Because Obadiah refused to quit. And because he said, I'm going to keep going to work, I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to keep doing a great job, and I'm going to help the king wherever I can. Because he did that, and he stayed there, and he stayed the course, the lives of 100 people were spared. And God worked through him. No doubt he had because now he had the finances to do it. He probably had some freedoms and abilities. No doubt there were things related to his job that helped him maybe organize the things, though he paid out of his own pocket to organize things to help the prophets of God. Amen. So I remind all of us as Christians and those that are going to be baptized this morning, remind us that we are all called to model faith. Even faith at the office, and maybe even especially faith at the office. I heard someone make this testimony. They said, it really moved me. They said, you know what? It's a reminder. We weren't hired to share our faith. We were hired to get a job done. And he said, so even if somebody comes to me and I'm in the middle of a task, and they asked me about something spiritual, said, you know what, I would love to talk with you about that. Right now, I know I've got assignments and you've got assignments, and I tell you what, right after work, as soon as work's over, I'll meet you. Let's go out for coffee. Let's go out for something, and let's talk about what you just mentioned because it's so vitally important. Wow. Being faithful to both sides. The natural, the spiritual, that in this way we're a light. Folks, our world is starving for the real. They need to see the real deal. And I tell you, it's tough because how many know you spend your whole life building trust, confidence, and you can blow it in a moment. You pray that that never happens, or that if it does, you're quickly to repair it and that they would forgive you and overlook that. But folks, we got a lot. God's given us great responsibility and great privilege to be a light to our world. They need people who are real. I want to be real. You? And exercise real faith. And it's a lot more than just the shout and excitement and showing up this morning like we are. The real work is going to start when we leave here. It's going to start tomorrow morning. And there's all kinds of people that are going through all kinds of situations in life, and they need somebody that they can trust. and that they see it in every part of their life, and they respect you. And they know you're going to tell them the truth, that you're going to be real with them. Because Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Amen? God help us. Faith at the office. Faith at work. Wherever we go. Will you bow your heads with me?